Cool. Great. What's going on, man?
How's it going, man?
State of everything.
The state of everything. This is a Scrimshaw Pilsner, straight out of Fort Bragg, California. California, where dreams are dreams, and women are women, and the light never goes out.
That's beautiful. Don't judge, same old stone. I'm working on it. Nothing new, beer wise.
Cool, cool, cool.
Same old tasty treat.
That's amazing. Well, cheers to all the people out there that don't get to share these beers with us. There's a lot of people right now that are probably listening that, you know, either they don't have access to these kinds of white privilege ales or they're sober, you know. Sober living, you know, is a thing. And, you know, it's that whole, like, cold turkey. You're going to go off of it forever. I've always been a little bit wary of extremism as kind of an extremist myself. I tend to want to go off the deep end or go too far into something, but it's like, look, man, you can't do it all. You can't do nothing. You have to have some middle ground. Balance is key. What do you think about that for this first state of the everything of June?
We are jumping right into it.
Let's just,
including moderation.
Yeah. So, sorry, I asked you a question and then I interrupted. I just turned off the music to let all our listeners know that was Pandemonium, Loud E. That's a good song. And I just want people to know that that's a wonderful song that they should check out. Yeah, man, Xander and Thias back at it on the air. Podcast.
Podcast 2019 here. I wonder what number, do you know what number this one is?
Yeah, it says on our website, which is very robust and updated by a whole team, and you can find it there on the State of Everything YouTube, which I'm surprised we even have a platform today. We might be banned after this is posted. I think there's been really an adpocalypse. I know we're really affected by ads, and there's really a big problem with monetization right now going around. A lot of YouTube independent creators are being really hit hard with these sweeping hits that have been spurred on by this Vox journalist, this man Carlos, I forget his name, Maza. And yeah, he didn't like how Steven Crowder called him a couple things, like a lispy queer, and socialism is for figs. There's a t-shirt that's very provocative and edgy.
What does that mean? What is figs?
Well, so it's F Fig G S. So it's a, you know, it's edgy humor. You don't want to say the F word, that would offend, you know, the LGBT community, but it's a tongue in cheek thing. I don't know if Steven Crowder hates gays. I mean, I don't know the guy. I think that he pushes buttons for a reason, to test boundaries like this that are continuously crumbling, these lines are being drawn in the sand by these, like, willful idiots or these people that, you know, are part of a bigger agenda, or just, I don't know, it just happens. And this is how censorship starts creeping into the public square. Unfortunately, our public square is run by corporations. Those are our platforms. We're not just doing this on we didn't create the film that we're doing this on. We're actually broadcasting on a technocrat platform that is now affecting all kinds of people that might not have had anything to do with whatever Steven Crowder calls this guy, who don't even create political content. They're being thrust into this conversation by having their livelihoods, their channels affected. Even if they do like history or this or that, if you say Nazi now, I just did it and it's a bad thing, because now YouTube will know that I said that, and Google will know that I said that, and it's really bad to say that because then you get extra attention on you. And I don't want to go down that road, man. That's why I want to be like a Zen, like, we are a higher consciousness channel. You know, we're not going to go into those, you know, we're not going to go into the fights, you know, when we go high, like they go whatever, I don't know, like we're just going to do our thing.
I I mean, I see where you're coming from and the principal nature of it. I'm not nearly as concerned about the coming apocalypse. I mean, I think anything apocalyptic, anything that's gotten an apocalypse attached to it, I'm just very skeptical of. considering the insanity that we're living with just now. I think it's pretty insane, but we're not, like, you know, I don't, but it could be worse, right? And I think it's a discussion that we have to have, or we are having, on the sidelines right now, maybe, about what's free speech, on the internet. And I think, I said what I said before when you texted. I still believe that. I mean, I don't know. I think that the business model of these platforms, all these social media, big tech companies, Google less so, because they're not social media, but I still have concerns about them. But YouTube and, Google owns YouTube, right? So,
media,
right? Yeah, so... YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, I don't know, Instagram less so, Twitter. I mean, I don't know, we worry about these social platforms, like what's free, what's hate speech and what's not. And I think the business, like, they're not, we're trying to figure out if they're publishing companies or if they're just platforms. And I don't think that they're clearly one or the other. I think they're a little bit of both, and that's why they're hard to regulate right now. I think the Justice Department is picking, like, going to try to regulate or figure out YouTube, and somebody else is doing Facebook. So they're trying to, like, figure it out, what makes the most sense and, you know, how that plays out. But I wouldn't be totally surprised if, the co-founder of Facebook wants to recommend breaking it up. So if you change these platforms, how they make their money, introduce maybe some type of regulate, you know, I don't know. Figure it out, but that might change the dynamic of, how they choose to limit the speech that they do, apply it fairly, or, we have to figure out, there's a lot of, free speech is good. I like free speech, but there's also a lot of nonsense going on, like false fake news and stuff, and people like exaggerating shit, and there's a lot of white supremacy going around the world, and so there's like limitations with things.
You sound like someone who, like,
is that corporate? Does that make me a corporate
Yes, like someone that only follows NBC's, like, all news, like, Twitter handles, and that's it. Like, this is what I've been programmed to say, and I believe that, and I totally believe this because this is what they tell me to say. That's literally what you sound like. But I don't blame you for saying those things. I think that what it comes down to at this point is, like, is it offensive to call someone a queer when they identify as queer? I mean, that's the tricky thing about, where do we draw this line? Like, if it's illegal for someone like me and my skin color to say the N-word, which I don't want to say, like, culturally, I agree.
I think there's context involved. There's context involved.
The point of that, though? It's like, if I start quoting some, like,
using the word? Are you attacking somebody else? Are you talking about it? I mean, you can have you can have discussions about these words or use these words in different contexts. I mean, if you're using it in, like, in a racist way, you should get penalized for, like, doing things I don't know, like.
Because it's racist. Who determines that? Trump?
No. I think that, like, when there's, like, vile things, promoting death threats, spreading... I get, like, what did they try to limit recently? I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying, like, the government needs to, like, limit shit. I'm just saying, like, you know, when, like, religions are attacking each other across the globe, igniting, you know, bombing each other, Muslims and Christians, and everyone's getting pissed off about it. Like, they're, I don't know. Like, how do we just let that run free and encourage it and let it, it's freedom. And yes, we should all just like kill ourselves and, you know, incite extremism. I mean, like, I don't know, but I guess we're figuring that out as a, you know, what our priorities are right now. You know, you can't like yell fire in a movie theater. You can't do that. And like, you know, the internet is the most public of spaces that exists in right now. I mean, there's no consequences. There's nobody policing it. It's just this like wild west. So I don't know. I mean, but people are getting radicalized from it, you know, like Facebook Live, in New Zealand, Christchurch. I mean, that's like, that circulated all around. People downloaded it. Like, and then what happened a month or two later, Bangladesh, attacking, that was ISIS. So, it sucks. I don't have the answer, you know, but it's like, these things are complicated. I think there's like, that exists on one side and, in between there, we've got to like figure it all out. And everything gets all wrapped into it together, I guess.
All right. Well, I don't know what just happened, you froze. People have to ultimately take personal responsibility. People have to ultimately look after themselves, not just like blame like the system or the president or like evils or like perceived like oppressors. Like, we can't just keep fucking whining. We can't just keep complaining to like Big Daddy tech company to come in and police and save the day. It's like you're inviting people to like spy on you in your house. Like, it's a weird thing. It's like, why would you invite more censorship? Why would you invite more tech authoritarianism? We've experienced that under Obama. We've experienced it under Trump. We don't need to move forward with like this world where like, yes, police me, daddy. Can you give me a good spanking too? Like, it's like, fuck that shit, dude. I don't want to fucking deal with that, dude. Like, fuck that guy, dude. I mean, you're ruining the internet for everybody by being a bitch, dude.
What's the context, man? I mean, like,
being called names on YouTube, it's like, dude, people, gay people.
Yeah, that's different. I'm not saying I endorse
gay people
that.
It's still illegal to be gay in like 10 countries in the world. And the gay people on Twitter in San Francisco are saying that, like, oh my God, he called me queer. It's like, you identify as queer. It's literally the Q in LGBTQ. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, stop this madness. This is the real, we need to focus on real issues, but we're never going to be able to if we can't even win arguments amongst ourselves, because it's so absurd and so ridiculous that this is where we're at now. And it's being led to like, okay, this so-called marginalized guy now is going to affect YouTube policies in 2 days, which is Google, which is the biggest company. Like, they have the biggest, they potentially exert the most power of any tech company out there, of any company. And now you're going to willfully just give off rights because someone hurt your feelings. That is what I'm talking about. And you are saying it's not important because you think that you have Trump's derangement syndrome. You think everything is completely connected to this fucking orange idiot that's in the office. I don't care. Like, man, like, he's a symptom of like many other bigger, larger problems that people like you don't even want to. Oh, you just, it's so easy. It's so convenient to overlook them because it suits your own narrative. Like, we got to focus on what I'm interested in. It's like, no, we don't. We got to focus on whatever's massively important today in the big issues of where we're going, and as a society, as an intellectual creature, as academics, as businessmen. This is what we need to pay attention to, not whatever Trump tweeted with his stupid little stubby fingers today. I hate that guy so much.
I enjoyed that.
The worst.
Righteous. I don't, well, let's be honest. Let's be accurate.
Be honest, man.
He called her He called him a lispy queer.
That's hilarious.
So I'm not saying, well, let's just be accurate. I mean, yeah, I mean, if that, like, that, does that count as hate speech? I don't know what the policy is. Like, that sounds pretty intense if that's, like, hate speech. I mean, I feel like, I mean, you, without condoning it, I think that you can also say, like, that doesn't rise to the level, like, I mean, does it produce, like, an honest, is it producing discourse right now? Like, can people benefit by talking about this without, like, banning these people from, I mean, again, it gets to the whole point of, like, one company, one private company has enormous power to dictate the economic outcomes of other private entrepreneurs or podcasting and, you know, content providers. And so it is pretty, you know, it's a company that just unilaterally is deplatforming this guy. And so, like, that is pretty fucked. I mean, but here's the thing, is like, it's always going to change. There's always going to be something else. Somebody else is going to bitch about what something, you know, that, you know, what other left-wing people doing. I mean, I don't know. Devin Nunes tried to sue, what was it? Twitter for, like, the parody account. It's going both ways. You know, everyone's, so it's like, I don't know what the solution that is. So how, like, I mean, yes, you can, like, get upset about, like, YouTube deplatforming these people, but it's just going to, like, the other side is going to find something, or you're going to get pissed off at something else. Like, it's left. They're just going back and forth, like, complaining about other people. So, like, endorsing this personal, like, or being outraged by this when somebody else is going to, like, get pissed off about something else, like, I understand, like, where the initial, like, outrage is coming from. But, like, the I don't know. I just don't see how or what like, to really do about it. Short of, like, breaking up these companies and having multiple platforms where people can, like, I mean, I don't know. Like,
that's the only way forward, because, like, you're missing, like, you know, this point that is, like, my biggest worry. Like, it's basically creating more of a problem. It's, like, basically the war on terror. We're going to, like, go after all the terrorists. We end up creating more terrorism. The war on drugs, you end up with a bigger drug problem. The homeless in Los Angeles have grown 12% recently because there's more and more handout programs. People just are like moths guided to the light. And what I'm saying about this censorship, let me finish. This is what I'm worried about.
But continue.
What I'm worried about is that this is what leads to more radicalization. You say that this is the narrative, and this is the official narrative. This is YouTube's narrative. This is Silicon Valley's narrative. This is Washington, D.C.'s narrative. This is Brussels' narrative. And you say that that's the narrative, and you push these people out, so they're not part of the narrative anymore. So they already felt kind of – it might be just perceived. They might be psychotic, out of their minds, whatever. They might be experiencing psychosis. Or they're actually being marginalized, and they at some point they think that, like, I'm an outsider. I'm an outsider in this society, and now I'm being pushed out from, like, the official narrative. Now I'm going to either start my own thing, which is a good thing. It's a positive thing. It's how it should happen. Or they, you know, retaliate and only radicalize people more and saying, like, that this is an enemy. I don't want us to have more things that divide us. We need to have more things that are more inclusive to everybody. That includes fascists, unfortunately. But that's the way it goes.
I mean, I think that's, like, a really bold thing to say on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. I mean, my God, dude. Like, there is no place for fascism. Like, no.
What I'm saying is this guy is, like, a fascist, though. He's an authoritarian tech guy that wants to limit speech that he doesn't like, that in his mind is not the right kind of speech. And I understand it from a moral perspective, but everybody that fought in World War II, they fought for freedom. Those people, those heroes, they fought for actual freedom, not like, oh, this kind of freedom for this kind of person and that kind of freedom for that kind of person. We have to equate, you know, we have to right our wrongs in history and in our society. We have to own up to our mistakes and we have to correct them. The way to correct them isn't through censorship and inequality and more hate and more drama and more exclusion. And that's exactly what's happening. And you're almost not paying attention to it because you're in the bubble. If you start looking outside of the bubble, that's exactly what people are perceived to have being, they're experiencing these things, whether it's in their mind, their dreams or nightmares or actually is happening. It doesn't matter. This is happening on a global scale. And this is why populism is rising in this country and everywhere else in the world. It's because people are being excluded and on all sides of the matter, gays in the Middle East. And now Steven Crowder type people here, or illegal immigrants here, or not, I shouldn't say that, but undocumented folks that have crossed the border. There's so many ways that people are excluding more in their corners. This is me and this is not you. I don't believe what you're saying about how like we can't bring in fascists. We have to convince them that they're wrong, but we can't just delete them from society. This is what leftist people that went to the kinds of schools that I went to think.
I mean, is getting deplatformed deleting them from society? I mean, I think like I don't view it as this like massive, like, you know, earth shattering, paradigm shifting thing. I mean, again, if you break up these companies, maybe have multiple platforms where people can go and discuss, and you have communities that can flourish across, you know, it's not these hyper unitary, you know, ultimate power wielding companies that can just like unilaterally, you know, change the situation. Freedom of speech is, I don't know, man. It's like there's like reprehensible things that do happen on, like, I'm not going to cede the point that there are not reprehensible things that happen on the internet, you know, and it should just be freedom and love and, you know, libertarian, go do whatever. I mean, now there's like deep fake videos. You can like take people's, you know, Facebook photos and turn them into pornos and look, they look super real. I mean, like, shit is like, there's a lot of fucked up shit. Human beings are fucked in the head, man. We're just animals. And now like the incentive is to make us all pissed off and scared. And like, that's how we stay on these platforms longer and spend more time. And people get radicalized, and yeah, it's good to have free internet and do whatever. But like the profit, like the business models of these companies are just so that people stay on them for as long as possible. And that is fear is driving that. Fear and anger and hate. Those are the emotions that get people to stay on these fucking platforms for longer and go crazy. So, you know, like, I don't know, but like, maybe we change that around. We're like, either they're broken into multiple platforms or their business model changes so that you have to pay for it, or basically, Google and Facebook like harvest everyone's data. We talked about this last time. You have a data replica of yourself, and advertisers just pay money to access it. And they're the two monopoly firewalls between every ad person who has to have that data to be effective and the people who just collect it all. So Google and YouTube basically, or Google and Facebook are like the two ones who do that the most, I think. So how you like fix that, but that's what it is. Meanwhile, so yeah, I mean, maybe that's the problem. And like people get like, you get people less like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with like spending time on the internet, but like, Jesus, I mean, I don't know. Like there's nothing wrong with spending time on the internet. It's just when people get radicalized by like bad things that cause violence and, brainwash people politically. or harm, you know, or manipulate people with false information, you know, to get people to vote a certain way, you know, like, so yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of shit that, like, we're just figuring it out, man. It's like, internet's like the last Wild West, maybe.
Well, it is, like, going inner, because it's going to keep going inner. Like, we're going to eventually be able to, I mean, we already are attached to the internet at all times. We have our we have our avatars that are existing as we are existing, whatever platform you're currently on. Right now we're on YouTube, so that's where our avatar is existing at this moment. Then you're going to go on your phone and you're going to go to your text messages. That's where your avatar is existing at that moment. Then you go to Netflix. I mean, ourselves are always connected. Like, the dots are already being connected of our lives are being lived online, and with the Internet of Things moving into our homes, going to happen more and more. And this is why, like, I freak out about this stuff, is because I truly believe, you're saying this is the last Wild West, and I believe that the First Amendment is still the last Wild West of creative expression in this country and in the world. And if you take that away from people, you know, if you shoot comics who are drawing Muhammad, if you ban comedians for saying, if you ban right-wing comedians for saying cringeworthy right-wing jokes, you can't just say he's a fascist, because this is what I've thought, man. I used to, fascism is it's a very loose spectrum, dude. Like, it's whenever you become an authoritarian. Now, I don't want to take it as far as, like, the worst kinds of fascists, obviously, are the worst kinds of people. People who, when you're talking about, like, you know, when to ban people or whatever, it's when you incite violence. You know, that's when you if you go on a social media platform and say, okay, everybody go kill this person, obviously that is the worst kind of, you know, that is the most, that's when you ban people, right? Or you, like, this is your welcome, because it's violent. Once you cross a line as a criminal, once you commit a crime, you know, but that's the thing. Crimes are all, like, look at Julian Assange. Like, you, some people see him as a journalist. Some people see him as a criminal. So it's like, it's the Rorschach test. Well, I don't want to get into that right now, because I know we have different opinions on that too, but.
He's like, he broke. I mean, the guy is a front for the Russian intelligence. That's literally what he is. When was the last thing he published about Russia or China or North Korea? Well, I mean, no secrets. Where are those secrets? How come it was only America? Seems rather convenient. Potential. All right. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. I mean, it's like clear as day. The guy, he's living in Russia, for Christ's sakes. Or no, Snowden. But if Julian Assange could escape. They can hear me, maybe. The government is probably listening. If Julian Assange could escape and find sanctuary in Russia, I bet you he'd go there. Anyway, I'm going to define fascism here on Wikipedia. So I feel like fascism, this is just like a pet peeve of mine. I feel like fascism is just thrown around so, like, willy-nilly on the left and the right.
It is, yeah.
Enough, like, protest to hear it from both, but fascism was a form of radical right-wing authoritarian ultra-nationalism characterized by dictatorial power, forcible suppression of opposition, and strong regimentation of society and of the economy, which came to prominence in early 20th century Europe.
Basically authoritarian, right?
Yeah. I mean,
violent extreme.
Fascists believe that liberal democracy is obsolete and regard the complete mobilization of society under a totalitarian one-party state as necessary to prepare a nation for armed conflict and respond effectively to economic difficulties. I mean, I think it gets thrown around and morphed, and it's the word itself has evolved. Maybe there's just like a historical context, and then people call each other, like, you know, you can call anybody a fascist with, like, any other qualifier before it, but I don't know. I think there's there's a lot of different ways to, I mean, this is actually just a really interesting article, but,
are you going to
share? Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's a crazy, it's, it doesn't, I mean, at the end of the day, it's unrepresentative and, is corrupting, and it's a terrible system of government, just like I would argue socialism is. That's why everyone should watch Chernobyl on HBO. I'm just gonna plug it for free. They're not even gonna pay me for this, but Chernobyl, awesome, awesome show. Gonna watch the finale tonight and however many more minutes, but it's just great, man. It's just all, I mean, it's terrible. It's a terrible show, but I mean, it's a great show about a terrible event. But an important event that, I think the world could really learn from. It could have the entire, like from Ukraine, like half of Ukraine and Poland could have been just gone for like 100,000, tens of thousands of years, unlivable. I mean, can you imagine how much that would have changed the world if, like, Eastern Europe was just, like, a radioactive, like, part of a good chunk of Eastern Europe, an entire country or whatever it was, is just, like, a nuclear wasteland? I mean, Jesus Christ, you know? Like, but, like, heroically, I mean, what's crazy is, like, the Russians were, like, selfless. These badass coal miners who live a horrible existence being a coal miner. I mean, maybe, I don't know, resistant, you know, corrupt. They're probably lowest, just trampled upon society-wise, but they're badasses. They all stick together, and they're like, this is our coal mine. We don't leave it. Like, they're in control, and like, why, where are you taking us? You know, we're not going to fucking leave this coal mine. Like, and the guy tells them, like, how bad it is, what the danger is, and he's like, okay, we're going to go. And they work 24/7, ass naked, trying to dig into a pit, into something to, like, you know, they all, you know, exposing themselves to insane. So it's this heroic, like, event that they literally saved. They, when it came down to it, these regular people did heroic things and prevented a total catastrophe from happening. And it was all because, like, the government didn't want to recognize it. And it was embarrassing, and it defeated communism. I mean, it was one of the big things about, like, that exposed just, like, the rot of the system, you know? And that's why communism is not a good thing.
Stop, you know? Stop playing dumb. You're smart. Stop playing dumb. And first of all, conflating socialism with communism, that's a problem.
Communism and socialism are both two sides of the same horrible coin.
Literally all the candidates you want to support are all backing socialistic policies. Like, you act like an idiot, dude. Like, if you don't want to go for socialism, vote libertarian, vote Gary Johnson, or vote for Trump again, dude, because all the Democratic candidates are all backing socialistic policies because that's progressive. Believe it or not, you're a progressive. Yeah, you're a socialist.
It depends on what you're...
It's like the buzzwords that Fox News feed people. So you're like, oh, I guess I have to agree.
I guess what I get frustrated on is when, like, the extreme part of the left is like, you know, I think that, look, socialism is, yeah, you're right. Socialism is just, like, you don't like, couch it in those terms. I'm saying, like, we need to reform a bunch of things, but you don't call, like, I mean, we did it in the 30s. We did it in the 40s, you know? We had all these social programs, and we revised our democratic capitalist system. We didn't wholesale, you know, wipe the slate clean and start over. We tinkered with it, and we've done really well, and I think we should keep experimenting.
That's what we're doing, and that's what we need to do, and that's why I still support a candidate like Bernie Sanders, who I know has said that he is a socialist. Does not make me a socialist. Doesn't make his platform socialist. It makes his platform very democratic, and it's progressive. And I don't have to, like, once you start this like mind game of saying that socialism's evil, it's bad, like we can't be like Venezuela, it's like, yes, no shit, but like now you're going to conflate that and you're going to like compare that to like a Bernie Sanders or like a real progressive like him, and that's not fair, because for where you're at and your ideals and your values, you're most aligned with that, and now you're basically bad mouthing something that you're kind of supporting aspects of. I mean, when we talk about socialism, we're not talking about the whole society being transformed. You don't own anything. It's more about like on a small scale, you know, you share some things, like you pay for things that everybody has a part of. It's not that crazy of a philosophy. I mean, on a large scale, it doesn't work, you know, but on like massive, like when the government owns everything, obviously it's bad. But that's not what we're talking about at all. It's more of like it's a jolt, you know, it's a jolt to the economy, to the human worker, to the simple man.
Yeah, I'm for you know, good data-driven progressive policies.
So you're gonna go for Amy Klobuchar.
I'm not for socialist ones. I think I like. Progressive ideas. I'm a fan of Teddy Roosevelt and the good old Bull Moose Party, OG progressives.
I agree.
And, you know, I think that's I see nothing wrong with some of those ideals and ideas coming back. You know, I think we're seeing that, to be quite honest. There's a lot of good ideas, a lot of forward-thinking ideas that, I mean, only one party in this country is, you know, experimenting without. I mean, what's like the Republican Party platform?
I don't care anymore. I don't care about politics. I'm just going to
Everything that we're talking about is politics.
This is Kristen Press. I'm just getting bored of this conversation. I hate politics. We're going to talk about women's soccer. Women's World Cup starts tomorrow. This is why women's soccer is great, is because Kristen Press is awesome, and it's fantastic, and I'm excited. The USA is the favorite. They're going to win. Something we're actually good at, women's soccer, not Republican parties, not two-party politics, not any politics, really. We're kind of failing a lot about it that right now. So watch soccer. It's going to save the world because everything else sucks.
So what's the deal?
It's the Women's World Cup. It's great. Gender equality. The under 20 World Cup is going on too. On the men's side, they're actually in the quarterfinals. Going to play Ecuador this Sunday. Women's World Cup open against Thailand on Thursday. Tuesday, I believe. The World Cup's in France this year. World Cup's every 4 years. The men's is 2 years after this one. Or it's going to be 20.
So what are the prospects, the U.S. Women's team?
They're the favorites, I think, I would say. I'm not an expert in women's soccer, but I think they're the best, in the world, because they've had the most resources and best training and Title IX and all that. A lot of other countries haven't really used those. They haven't really figured that out until recently, but the game is getting much bigger. It was 24 teams. It's the second tournament with that many teams. France has a chance to win, they're saying. England has a chance to win their first one. Norway and Germany are always really good. So Japan should be a good tournament if you guys are interested. Awesome. Support the USA women because it's one of the few things that USA women are getting right these days.
Yeah, you'll have to keep us going, updated on that. How long? I mean, by the time we do the next podcast.
Well, the next podcast, I'll still be on this side of the country, I suppose. It'll be my finale, my West Coast finale. So excited about that. And, going to be great. Going to be great. Just great podcasting here.
For sure. Yes.
What's your closing Chicago thing?
My final thought is the shout out to Illinois House of Reps. I think that they just like passed a bill to legalize recreational marijuana. So, huzzah, huzzah, we're getting there. I think there's some pretty good, I think it simultaneously erases the criminal histories of people who've been jailed for it too, which is, I think, a pretty awesome, just 1-2 way to do that. I think that makes sense. So yeah, I think Illinois fiscal situation might be quickly approaching a terrible cliff of no return and eternal doom. Yeah, we got that straight. So maybe we'll get some tax revenue from that. That'll be a drop in the bucket, but at least, you know, Illinois residents can get high about it.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. That's amazing. Incredible. Wow. Well, it's been a pleasure talking about all the news with you, Zathias. It's been real, real, man.
Igualmente, Xander.
Peace in what do we believe in?
wait, what?